Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Are you suggesting to me that heaven is actually a place?
Yes, sir.
Where is that place?
We don't know where it is exactly right
now. Then why would you ask a question, where do I go?
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. No pie in the sky when you die by and by.
That is a mischaracterization of the Christian gospel that fits the social agenda, which gets all caught up in this world and fails to understand that we are to set our affections not on this world, but on the world to come.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You, sir, are a liar. Liar, liar, your pants are on fire!
And there's a whole lot of smoke coming from the britches of the pro-abortion movement. This is Wretched Radio as the dust hopefully never settles from the Kermit Gosnell trial. There's a whole lot of lying going on. Have you been hearing some of the whoppers that are being peddled by the pro-aborts? Absolutely staggering. Now, I'm not good at math. In fact, I'm terrible at math. But this would be, I don't think anybody can figure out this math. Here's the lie that is being told. You see, the reason Kermit Gosnell exists is because you Christians, you white American Christians, you trying to shut down the pro-abortion clinics, you're making it hard for women to get abortions. And so a guy like this can actually exist because you've been trying to shut down the funding, even though hundreds of millions of dollars go to Planned Parenthood, your tax dollars every... I'm just telling you the deal.
That's dribbly dribble.
Your tax dollars funding Planned Parenthood. Because you're trying to cut back those dollars, we have to have clinics like Gosnell. And if you would just lighten up, get off our backs, then Kermit Gosnell wouldn't exist. Hold on. Here's where the math gets even goofier. If we had more abortion clinics, there wouldn't be any Kermit Gosnells. Really, and we know this how. There are already hundreds of pro-abortion clinics. This is where they kill babies. Hundreds of them. So let's just say this is wrong. But here's the other lie, by the way. It's only Kermit Gosnell. There's a whopper for you. This is the only one. Yeah, right. As you're going to hear in a few minutes, it's not the only one. But we've got one Kermit Gosnell and hundreds of really good abortuaries. If we had more abortuaries, we wouldn't have a Kermit Gosnell. It seems to me if we had more abortuaries, we'd have more of what we already have. Exactly. But I'm not very good at math exactly.
They didn't
carry
the two.
By the way, Planned Parenthood continues to tell lies, stating, we do mammograms. How many times did you hear that during the War on Women campaign? The ridiculous statement that was made by Planned Parenthood, hey, if you cut our funding, we won't be able to do mammograms. Hate to break it to you, Seal. You don't already do mammograms. Five things you should know about Planned Parenthood's abortion business. I think this comes from Live Action, if I'm not mistaken. They don't do mammograms, period. They haven't, they don't, and they won't. Why? Because they're in the business to abort babies. Number two, that is all they do, even though, surprisingly, most people aren't even aware that Planned Parenthood does abortions. Check this out. More than 50% of Planned Parenthood's abortions are done on teenagers and college-aged women. Isn't that lovely? Student for Life America reports at least 60% of college students don't know that Planned Parenthood commits abortions. And in other news, they don't know 2 + 2. Or how to do their reading and writing. And actually, that's kind of true. So I'm not...
Yeah.
I guess I can't be satirical about that. Number three, Planned Parenthood commits 392 abortions for every one adoption referral it makes. More bad math. Planned Parenthood receives over $1 million of your money. Guess how often? Go ahead and get there. 365 days in the year.
Every day?
Planned Parenthood receives $1 million every day. Your money.
I was hoping I was kidding.
And if we had more money, then Kermit Gosnell wouldn't exist. So stop it, you white American Christians.
Isn't that the same great math they use for education?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Huh. We've received more money per student. The test scores continue to go down. Give us more money so that the test scores can go up.
Huh?
Number five, Planned Parenthood still receives funding from the Susan G. Komen Foundation. In a bit of irony, Susan G. Komen Foundation, in order to raise awareness about breast cancer, to supposedly raise enough money with their pink ribbons, a lot of walking, to beat breast cancer. That's admirable. They give money to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood doesn't do mammograms. Abortions are believed to cause more breast cancer.
Well, I feel logic in college, and that I can still see that doesn't work.
So the lies are multi-layered. Kermit Gosnell is our fault. We are to blame. If there were more abortion clinics, there'd be fewer Kermit Gosnells. If we had more money, there would not be filthy clinics. Absolutely shocking. Simply staggering. Now, my other lie that I just love about this is the he's the only one. He's the only guy that's doing this. Oh, stop it. How many undercover videos do we need to see and hear? We're going to share one with you, I think, sort of, kind of, maybe, in just a few moments. NARAL reacts to Gosnell's conviction.
Uh-oh.
We hope that the lessons of the trial do not fade with the verdict. Oh, that's good. What's the lesson? Anti-choice politicians and their unrelenting efforts to deny women access to safe and legal abortion care will only drive more women to back alley butchers like Kermit Gosnell. You can't write this. You thought I was making it up? You cannot write this. NARAL. From the lack of funding available for low-income women, I see. And until we reject the making it all political about women's medical care, women will never be safe. So it's the so by making it a political issue, which it is, anyway, we're actually keeping women unsafe. Last time I checked, y'all, abortion is legal. You got your way, and we got Kermit Gosnell. The horrifying story of Kermit Gosnell, says NARAL, is a peek into the world before Roe v. Wade made legal a woman's right to make her own choices. You getting right?
Wait.
Seriously.
See, that's why Roe v. Wade happened, so this wouldn't happen.
Put me on crack for 100 years.
How can you have it both ways?
And have me work on writing a press release like this, and I could not come up with this. You would send this to Hollywood, and they'd go, no, that's too dumb. Please, writers, don't make us fire you. Well, we can't. You're a union. The point is, we need something. Nobody will believe this. NARAL. In the meantime, Christians are also responding to the verdict on Kermit Gosnell. And I think we're seeing some good responses, and I think we're seeing a couple that are out of balance on both sides of the gospel line. Here's one side that I've seen some Christians fall into, and I think it needs an adjustment. And I'm not going to name names because we don't like criticizing Christians who are believers on non-essential issues. So that's why we leave them nameless. Essential issue, that would be different, but this is a non-essential. These are good Christians who, in my estimation, so here's my opinion on a reaction to an issue, so certainly this does not reach the level of orthodoxy that somebody's a heretic if they've made what I believe to be an error in responding to Kermit Gosnell. When it comes to discernment, we got to remember who's in the camp, who's inside of the fortress, who's in the walls, and who's on the outside. The ditch that I think some Christians have fallen into have been just a flat-out, almost gleeful rejoicing about Kermit Gosnell being found guilty, and a pleading for him to receive execution. Now, it raises a question. It doesn't beg it. It raises a question. Should a Christian ever be glad that a Kermit Gosnell was found guilty and he's going to go to jail for the rest of his life, or, in my estimation, more biblically and more civilly, executed? I think biblically we can. Now, where we do that, how we do that, I think we have some instruction from Proverbs and mostly from the Psalms. We can, when true evil is dealt with, I read many Psalms where there is a rejoicing. There are imprecatory Psalms that did not get set aside for the 21st century, seeker-sensitive, postmodern, intolerant, Rus society and culture that we live in. The imprecatory prayers exist because there are some people who are exceedingly wicked. I think that we sometimes forget that. We sometimes think we can never really be happy about people getting justice because well, we're just a step away from being that atrocious if we're not already that atrocious ourselves, which is the other side of the ditch that I've been seeing in the response to the Kermit Gosnell trial. I have seen Christians, again, I'm not going to name names, that are stating we should not be rejoicing over the sentencing of Kermit Gosnell. We should not be happy about this. And I think that that is wrong, too. Now, I think we need to be careful on both sides. Let me give you an example of the... We shouldn't be feeling happy about the demise of Kermit Gosnell. I'm not going to name the site where I got this from. The individual wrote, as Christians, we should not, all caps, not rejoice over the Gosnell verdict. Christians can rejoice that the process of justice was meted out as the sword given by God was delivered. Yet, I fear many Christians will see this as an opportunity to cheer that Gosnell may be sentenced to death or spend the rest of his earthly life in jail. I think what we have here is an example of the wonderful gospel-centered movement being, dare I say, a little bit too gospel-centered. This individual continues, a Christian who rejoices over the potential death sentence of a sinner lost in his or her sin has failed to grasp the horror of hell. No, I don't think that we failed to grasp that. We got that one figured out, mostly. We are seeing something really wicked, something exceedingly sinful and atrocious. And we have examples of that in the Bible. Take a look at the way 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings describes the different rulers. Some were good, some were bad, some were really awful. Ahab, terrible, worse than all the other kings. And there was an outrage. And the people were oppressed, and they rejoiced when the wicked ruler would die. And I think we can too, while remembering that this individual is facing hell if he doesn't repent, while remembering that we too are wicked, awful sinners and that we deserve hell, and if people knew the intentions of our heart and the secret sins that go on in our noggin, they would be just as horrified. But just the same, we still see a man who has committed these murders. By the way, somebody rightly brought up that we shouldn't be rejoicing that much about justice being meted out to Kermit Gosnell because he was simply found guilty of murder and not found guilty of abortion. That would be a true pro-life victory, that he was found guilty of wicked abortion. This was murder, but not guilty of abortion. At any rate, this individual goes on to say, rather than rejoicing, I pray we weep for Gosnell, intercede for Gosnell, and pray God will save Gosnell from the prison of his sin. I get that. I understand that sentiment. I understand that. Because that's being gospel-centered. Can we perhaps have both emotions? Can we have both sentiments? And maybe to make the statement that we should weep over the death of Gosnell is perhaps asking us to override a sense of justice and a human emotion that I think is appropriate and doesn't make us any less gospel-centered. It makes us human, not sinful necessarily, but human. God is angry about sin. We see degrees of hell for worse sinners. We see that sometimes God gets so mad at somebody, he just kills them. Period. Done. We see rejoicing of the people. Is it possible that we could have that too? I think we need to watch out for both ditches. I think there's a ditch of, woohoo, ding dong, the witch is dead, woohoo, he's going to perish in a lake of fire. Okay, that's wrong. On the other hand, I think what we are seeing is also off track. Hey, don't be glad that this wicked man was found guilty, because we're all guilty and we've been forgiven and we should weep over the man and pray that he gets saved. I think that's going a little too far and asking a little bit too much. And I think it's failing to recognize that sometimes there are people who are just really, really wicked. A few names come to mind. I think typically Adolf Hitler, Genghis Khan, Chiang Kai-shek, Pol Pot, Lenin, Stalin. There's a lot of wicked, exceptionally. They get A's. If there were a class on being evil, these would be the valedictorians. I think it is right to rejoice that they have been busted, that justice will be satisfied, even if that means the death sentence. And we would also pray, and I think this is balance enough and shows compassion enough and an understanding of hell enough and an understanding of what Jesus did for sinners like Chiang Kai-shek and me. that we can say, and yet we are going to pray for this man, because even though he is wicked and horrible, I am still asked to love my enemy. And I'm going to demonstrate that by recognizing that I also love the people that he butchered, and that I also love Jesus, and that I want this person to receive the forgiveness that I have been granted, because I deserve it no more than Kermit Gosnell. And I think that's finding the correct balance. And I think if we don't, I think we're falling into a ditch. We're not robots. We're actually human. And just in case you think that that automatically equates to sinful, hold on. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And so while our emotions can be sinful, they don't have to be sinful. And as I see God responding to truly wicked people, and that he will be glorified ultimately in the death of sinners when the smoke of their torment rises before the throne of the Lamb forever and ever, then I think rightly, without being, I don't deserve it, but he does. We don't rejoice like that, and yet we can rejoice that one of the many, many wicked abortionists in our country has been brought to justice. So, was Kermit Gosnell the only one? Next, on Wretched Radio.
If you want to go deeper into the Word, It's Not Greek to Me from Wretched Radio will teach you just enough Greek to be dangerous. You'll be able to utilize commentaries better, do word studies, and you'll understand every Greek reference your pastor makes. Hence, just enough Greek to be dangerous. It's perfect for Sunday school, homeschool, personal or group studies, or if you're planning on studying first year Greek. It's a Greek primer that will teach you just enough to understand biblical Greek. It's Not Greek to Me is available now at wretchedradio.com.
The gift of a motorcycle can make a huge difference for a traveling pastor in Vietnam. One pastor in the Central Highlands might walk for 30 miles to reach a church. Some of these ministers are serving more than 500 people in areas where local officials hate Christianity.
Although we cross rivers, through the mountains, over the hills, despite obstacles and difficulties, these little feet are still not yet worn, said one of the pastors who received a motorcycle. We look for the lost sheep and bring them back to the Father. You've given wings to us so that we can go farther.
The motorcycles will help these pastors reach more people in Vietnam, which has a communist government. To learn how you can help and support Christians reaching out in hostile and restricted nations, like these pastors, subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs free monthly newsletter. Call 800-75-VOICE or go to persecution.com. That's persecution.com. The Voice of the Martyrs is a Christian nonprofit organization.
Usually when we talk the Wretched Store, we're talking those wonderful Wretched DVDs, CDs, MP3s, and tracks. And on the bookshelves, a wonderful selection, including Milton Vincent's Gospel Primer, a fine selection of books from the Puritans, and for you drive-by parenting fans, Ted Tripp's Shepherding a Child's Heart. Written for parents with kids of any age, this insightful book provides perspective and procedures for shepherding your child's heart into the paths of life. So check out the bookshelf at the Wretched Store at wretchedradio.com.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
Well, there's an interesting comparison I've heard for spiritual discernment, that it functions like the church's immune system. You think of a disease like AIDS and how AIDS doesn't actually kill people, in a sense. What it does is it destroys your immune system so that you can no longer beat off illness. I think spiritual discernment functions in much the same way within the church. It's the Christian's immune system. It's the church's immune system. It allows us to identify and overcome the disease of false doctrine, of false gospel. It's like the body's immune system. It responds to disease. It quickly identifies and quickly destroys and roots out what should not be there, what's foreign to it. But without discernment, we're like a body without an immune system. We're like a church that has AIDS. We're helpless and hopeless and easily destroyed.
You can get drive-by discernment and all of our drive-by resources at wretchedradio.com. What's your first reaction when you hear sharing your faith? For a lot of us, share your faith means scary. That's why there's Terrified, an MP3 disc of 26 witness encounters to give you the flavor of what it's like to share your faith. And with its ever-popular step-by-step study manual, you will learn the biblical principles for how to share your faith and be in control of every encounter. Terrified, the MP3 disc and study guide available right now at wretchedradio.com.
Why must you needlessly complicate everything?
Whenever you face a Bible difficulty, be sure to read the surrounding verses. Most Bible difficulties disappear when we read the verse in its context.
They're now conducting an extensive search of the surrounding system.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to what we call Theater of the Mind or a really bad idea. This is Wretched Radio.
I'm going with a bad idea. If that's
yeah,
okay.
I'm guessing it's going to be. This is okay. Really just built for disaster, forgetting which medium we happen to be on right now. And I'm not talking about like a seance, or I'm not talking about somebody who's in connection with the divine. Hey, speaking of that, what was the name of the woman who made the prediction about, was it the Jodi Arias trial? Sylvia somebody or another, and she was just flat out busted wrong? What a shocker that is.
How could you
at any rate,
that?
Would like to share with you something that probably should only be played on TV, but this year is radio. We're going to give it a go anyway. One of the lies that is being peddled in the Kermit Gosnell saga is that his is the only clinic that was dilapidated, run down, filthy, disgusting. Would like to share with you a video. I know, this is radio. Would like to share with you a video. I think you're going to be able to get it. I'll try to describe some of it for you, but I think that you will get it from the descriptions of the two fellows from Operation Rescue. Here's the setup. Two buildings. Think suburban, older neighborhood. Think one, it looked basically like a house next to another house. One of the homes was a pro-life clinic that was purchased because right next door was a pro-abortion clinic. Now, the pro-life clinic ended up buying the pro-abortion clinic. What you're about to see or hear is the fellows now walking through the abortion clinic that they just purchased. The abortion clinic where real live abortions happen. That would be wrong.
Yeah.
Where actual abortions took place 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Okie dokie. Got that? What you're about to hear described as these fellows walk through this abortion clinic is an abortion clinic that was operating 2 weeks ago.
Was this the front door of the abortion clinic?
No, this door was always locked. There's a solenoid here, and you can never get in. The only thing this door was used for is as the women were coming out, they would very shakily, oftentimes, come right here and get into a car door and speed away.
Okay, this looks like, when this building was built, this was the front door. If they're not using this for the front door, how did a woman get into the facility?
They'd have to come in through the back alley.
Troy, so this is where they actually came into the facility to park, is that right?
Right. The abortionists would park here, and each of the patients would line up here.
Wow. Now, I thought that was kind of ironic, because they don't have women coming through the front door, I think for two reasons. One is, even if there were not any pro-lifers there that were picketing, praying, preaching, trying to rescue, most women, recognizing that this is a shameful, sinful thing to do, don't want to be seen going into a place like this. It's kind of a low building, brick. It could be kind of a rambling house. I guess it was built as a business, and next door is the home that's the pro-life clinic. But I think that there's another reason, and that is because of the pro-lifers that are there. They want to avoid them. They want to get away. They had to draw a line because the government made them draw a line. They couldn't go over the line onto the property of the abortion clinic. And so the women would have to go through the back alley to get themselves into the abortion clinic. Now, this is the entrance into the abortuary.
So, this is the first thing, Mark, that the woman would see as she's coming in from the back alley. Obviously, this is a filthy, putrid conditions. In fact, this was actually the room that they would use to sterilize the equipment. The sterilization machine sat right up there in the corner.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, you think about sterilizing equipment in here. You got a door that opens to a parking lot. You got people just walking back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I look around
so
the room.
So much for sterilization.
Like, there's a right here in the sink. I mean, this place is filthy, but you've got an ungrounded electrical outlet by the water inlet right
and
there.
And it's leaking.
Right. Look at this. You got a hole in the wall. What is that? I mean, that And, you know, you just look around here, and, I mean, you look up here, look at the cobwebs.
Cobwebs, wires coming through the walls.
Right.
The most common surgical procedure is abortion, and this is the sort of facility that is done.
I'm looking at the corner. This is a drop ceiling. It's just, you know what a quarter, maybe you've got it looks like your garage corner. That's what it looks like. It looks like the corner of your garage. This is where women enter. This is where the equipment is sterilized. We continue our tour of the House of Horrors that closed down 2 weeks ago. This is another room. We don't know exactly what it is.
Another real clean, sterilized room in an abortion clinic.
Oh, this is amazing. Look how nasty it is in that cabinet. The cabinet's got a big hole in the side of it. Again, you've got ungrounded outlets. You've got nasty-looking carpet, and the floors are...
disgusting.
The walls were terrible looking. Yeah. Anybody thinks the days of the back alley abortion are over, they're nuts.
Well, he needs to read the NARAL release, because it's our fault, sir. It's your fault that you've got that pro-life clinic. If they didn't have that pro-life clinic next door, that place would be cleaner. Huh?
Exactly.
They were making plenty of money there. If they were doing a legitimate business, what they chart, they could have upped the price. It doesn't take much to run a dust cloth over a counter. It doesn't take much to clean or replace a carpet. This is the waiting room where the women would sit nervously, anxiously waiting.
And this is where women would sit and wait prior to their abortions. But I've got to show you something that is extremely interesting. Right over here, you've got a sticker declaring this place to be, as of last year, an NAF member.
National Abortion Federation.
Right. And it says that this facility certifies that it complies with all the current standards of quality abortion care set forth in the National Abortion Federation's 2005 Clinical Policy Guidelines.
Wow. What are those guidelines? Make sure the place is filthy. Make sure it's disgusting. Make sure that a rat wouldn't want to eat there. Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. There are rats there.
A rat trap or a mouse trap are down here on the floor. Did y'all put that here?
Oh, no. That and others are located in the building. We have not changed a thing in this place.
Oh.
Wow. Why would they need rat traps and mouse traps littered throughout the building?
This is the exam room. This is where women would get an exam prior to going into the abortion room. So you'd expect this place to be clean as well. But let me show you what's behind this door.
Wow.
Funky.
That's about as nasty as it gets right there.
Oh, this is absolutely disgusting. You look down in the corner there, who knows what is breeding you found.
Breeding, literally.
It's
actually roach droppings and mouse droppings or whatever those are. Look at this carpet. I mean, it's just... this was an exam room where the woman who was thinking about going into the next room for the procedure, this is where she got taken.
Right.
You know, I want to make sure people understand, and I don't want to do this, believe me, but I want people to understand how nasty this place really is. And remember, again, as you told me earlier, just a couple of weeks ago, this was an operating abortion clinic. This is not like something that built up over the years. Look at this.
He's running his finger over the ventilator, the grate in the side of the wall, and it's like a clump. It's like a dust bunny of filth. All, and then that's every place. It's everywhere. This is an abortion clinic. This was where a surgical procedure... we would call it, of course, murder, but this is where a surgical procedure would take place. This is the lab room.
Mark, this is the lab, the area where they would do the pregnancy tests. We saw the bathroom there a minute ago, and the women would pass their urine samples through this, I guess, very well-constructed door.
It didn't fall apart.
And the pregnancy tests would be conducted in this room.
Wow. You know, as filthy as this room is, this is the cleanest one in the place.
So.
Now, this is the cleanest room, and unfortunately you can't see this because it's radio. The camera panned down to the floor, zoomed in on a cockroach. This is the cleanest room in the place. This room may have been the lunchroom.
In here, Lord knows what happened, but it is absolutely beyond comprehension how filthy it is.
This is amazing. There's a cutting board here. Surely they didn't make the lunch or something in this room. Or there's a sink. You know, I hope that people who are watching this can get a sense of how nasty this place is.
And again, babies were being dismembered. Women were receiving invasive surgical procedures in this building just a couple of weeks ago.
Kermit Gosnell, he's the only one. No. And it's your fault, Christian. How dare you be opposed to us. Now, I have to prepare you. This is what you're about to hear is brutal. This is an abortion clinic that had been in business up until 14 days before.
Should I turn up my headphones?
This filming.
Will this make me ill?
Yeah, it's going to make you ill. And in a sense, I think it should. I think it should. Because this is going on in our country. This is happening right now.
This is the sink or the scrub room that they took the babies to. And they would literally put them down this sink. And as you can see,
underneath the
there's
sink.
An industrial garbage disposal.
Well, Troy, you know, there are going to be people out there that say, well, oh, they didn't really grind them up in the garbage disposal. Some of the abortion defenders are going to say that. But there's absolutely no reason for a quote-unquote medical facility to have an industrial garbage disposal. This is, and we keep on hearing this from ex-employees, that that's what they did with them. I've had them come to my office and say,
that's right.
I had to work the scrub room. I had to hear the babies ground up. I had to push them down the garbage disposal. And now, this is absolute irrefutable proof that this is what happens. And
you'll notice the bleach. You'll notice the Drano.
I guess the baby parts clogged it up sometimes.
Oh.
The smell. The smell. The fellow's genuinely putting his hand over his mouth and gagging. Babies being ripped out of their mothers, brought into a sink in a filthy, disgusting, run-down, money-making, making somebody rich abortion clinic, only to be met by a garbage disposal and Drano.
Smell it from here, but listen to this. This is the sound of grinding babies.
What is that smell?
The smell of death is what it is. And this is in suburbia, in America, in a neighborhood. You drive by these buildings. We're being told Kermit Gosnell is a one-off and he's our fault. We asked the question the other day, is America still a civilized nation? I'm inclined to think not so much.
This is where thousands of babies left this earth. They went down that drain. And you know, it's, I guess one of the things that I keep telling people about the saddest aspect of the abortion issue is that God sends a little child here, puts a child in a woman's womb, sends it to this earth. And the only interaction that that child ever has with other human beings is with the mother who took him to a place like this and with the animal who flushed him down that sink. And I, you know, if this nation thinks that it can continue to do this sort of thing, and if there's not going to be a price to pay for it, we are nuts.
Well, this actually, for all we know, might be a price that we're paying for other sins. Kermit Gosnell is your fault. Apparently, this abortion clinic, too, if you buy the narrative of NARAL and Planned Parenthood, is our fault, too. So we now ultimately sit asking the question that is so often raised when we hear stories like this. Okay, what do we do? What do we do? This is Nazi Germany squared. We look back historically and we think, why didn't they do something? Why didn't they respond? Why didn't they help? And I think it's because they were left asking the same question that I think we as Christians in 21st century America are left asking. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to help? What is our response? Can we do anything? And what is that thing? Does the Bible give us any help? Are we supposed to terrorize the place and shoot him down and be an abortion murderer? We'll try to answer those questions next on Wretched Radio.
usually when we talk the Wretched Store, we're talking those wonderful Wretched DVDs, CDs, MP3s, and tracks. And on the bookshelves, a wonderful selection, including Milton Vincent's Gospel Primer, a fine selection of books from the Puritans, and for you drive-by parenting fans, Ted Tripp's Shepherding a Child's Heart. Written for parents with kids of any age, this insightful book provides perspective and procedures for shepherding your child's heart into the paths of life. So check out the bookshelf at the Wretched Store at wretchedradio.com.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. It is said that when Bible translators were seeking a word or phrase for peace in the language of the Cole Indians of South Mexico, they discovered that the word for a quiet heart gave just the meaning they were looking for. That's why Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Peace guards the soul against anxiety and strife and grants comfort and harmony. And may the peace of Christ reign in your heart continually and give you a quiet heart. This is John MacArthur praying that you're continuing to be a portrait of grace.
As Christians, we have quite a heritage, 21 centuries of church history, and you can learn about your legacy on your way to work with Drive-By Church History. Drive-By Church History tells his story, our story, and your story in 47 short lectures. And after listening, you'll not only know this history, but you'll be equipped to defend it. Join Todd, Pastor Bob Glenn, and Dr. Peter Hammond for a rousing trip through Christian history. Drive-By Church History, available now, along with the entire Drive-By series at wretchedradio.com.
Now here's a clip from one of our favorite pastors here at Wretched Radio. This is Alistair Begg.
Because until a man or a woman is converted, then they are not ready to meet Christ. And Jesus says, you need to be ready because the Son of Man is going to come at an hour you do not expect him. Well, if I am unconverted, then I am not ready to meet him. How awful to think of being hurried with my sins unatoned for, unpardoned, into the presence of the one against whom I have offended so deeply. What an embarrassment to be ushered into the presence of Jesus, he who has loved with an everlasting love, he who has extended his entreaty to me, he who has died upon the cross to bear sin, and all of a sudden to be brought face to face with Christ. What are you going to say then, unbeliever? Oh, well, I was just getting round to it. I had actually made up my mind that sometime in the next few months I was going to deal with this, you know. It will be far more tragic than it will be embarrassing to meet Christ unprepared.
Typically, you don't find our wretched resources in Christian bookstores and churches. Do you ever wonder why that is? So did we. That's why we created Wretched Wholesale, where Christian ministries can come and order quantities of wretched resources at wholesale prices. Hence the clever title, Wretched Wholesale. This way, you'll never be far from a copy of The Biggest Question, or Drive-By Theology, Drive-By Parenting. For all the details, go to wretchedwholesale.com. Wretchedwholesale.com.
How did your brain even learn human speech? I'm just so curious.
When you get the chance, ask your atheist friends, where did matter come from?
I don't want to play anymore.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you worry. Though the world appears to be going completely wonky, you can always rely on the state of Minnesota. That was just a rank lie. This is Wretched Radio. Congratulations, Minnesota. It's now legal to be married if you're two fellas in the land of 12,000 lakes.
Legally recognized.
Legally recognized.
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, legally it wasn't illegal before because it wasn't acknowledged.
Well, okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. So you can now be... it's legal to be gay and married. To be married and gay.
I'm going
to
stick
you know
with
what
my
I'm trying to say.
Attaboy.
And apparently Minnesota is what, state number 11, state number 12,
number 12.
Another one bites the dust. And hey, we can just cling to it and hold on to. There's 38 states who haven't. The whole society radically changing right in front of your very eyes. Thought you might be interested in hearing from Representative Tim Faust. I'm not sure what district he happens to be from, but he laid forth his argument prior to the vote in the great state of Minnesota, which, by the way, made the top 10 list of the 10 states in which you do not want to retire. Wisconsin was another one because of weather and taxes. Two reasons. Weather.
Well, Wisconsin's getting better on the taxes. The weather.
You know, slowly. Yeah, they can't change that unless, of course, Al Gore is correct. Mrs. Friel, who's quick to remind me, a weather event is not climate change. It's weather change. In Wisconsin, it's not suddenly like you got to wear sunblock in December. It's still pretty much what it is there. It goes up, it goes down. Furthermore, my biggest nit to pick, as long as we're picking nits, with global warming is it is based on evolution. So I've got a big problem with it right there. But let's just work with their timeline for a minute. They say we're millions of years old. Okay, so you're telling me we've been tracking weather accurately without using tree rings for less than a century. And from that, you're telling me the climates are changing? Sorry, you're going to need to have like at least 2-3 million years under your belt. Then give me a call and we can talk about whether or not the climate is changing. Until then, that is just bad statistical data. Tim Faust, a representative from Minnesota, arguing for gay marriage prior to the big vote in the state of 12,000 Lakes. Listen very, very carefully to his attitude about Christians. This is instructive for us. We need to not just get used to hearing this, but learn how to respond to the argument that Senator Representative Faust laid out.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I have to start by admitting not too long ago, I probably would have voted no on this bill.
But
in the past, there have been a couple things that have changed my mind on this. The first one is in the last 10 years, I've had conversations with hundreds, and I guess now it's in the thousands of people about this issue.
Ah, I see. So whether or not the issue is right or wrong, he did it basically by anecdote. He ran into 1,000 people who must have presented what he thought was a compelling enough argument to change his vote now for gay marriage. So I'm just curious, Representative, if you'd met 1,000 people who said the opposite, 1,001 people, so you met 2,000 people, 999 of them said that they were for it, 1,001 said they were against it. Would you be against it? Here's the problem with morality by consensus, morality by anecdote. I guess it just depends on who you meet and who you talk to.
And in 99.9% of the time, the people that are opposed to gay marriage, at some point in their discussion, they always say, "My Bible says."
Ba, boom, ba, bing. And by the way, I'm not a voice language expert, but I do believe I hear some disdain in his tone.
In their discussion, they always say, "My Bible says."
Wow, Christian. Now, I'm okay with that, because I promise you, this fellow would have changed his mind based on the other arguments that are coming from the left. He would have gone for, hey, people have got to love, which is, by the way, what we hear his argument to be. People have got to be given the right to be happy. They got to do whatever it is that they want to do. So he would have gone for this anyway. This is just an axe to grind against Christians who have the audacity to quote the Bible. Now, this is my take on it. I think more people should be doing that. And more people should be quoting Romans 1:32 to this guy. Congratulations, sir. You're the bottom of the barrel endorsing sin with your vote. Listen to his attitude toward Christians.
And so if this is the reason or the rationale for being opposed to this or for why this law is currently in place, the question that keeps going through my mind over and over again is, do we as a society have the right to impose our religious beliefs on somebody else?
Now, please note that well. We'll revisit this in a few moments. Do we have the right to impose our religious values on other people? Okay, fair enough question. Please remember, we will revisit that. But here's my question for the representative. If we don't do that, well, how exactly do you suggest we determine some of these moral issues? If not calling to a higher authority, if not calling upon the creator of the universe, whether we can grant this, whether real or imagined, where do we get our morality from? Where do we get the concept? Where do we get right or wrong? And who gets to determine it? See, it is simply inescapable. If we have these categories of right and wrong, we got ourselves a God, y'all. Because without him, we can't have a right or wrong. Even his lame presentation. Hey, it's right that gay people should be allowed to be married. All right, where do we get that concept? Or is this just your opinion? You see, we call on, thus saith the Lord, we always quote our Bibles. And you know what? We shouldn't back down from that. I can accept. You're right. We do quote our Bible because, you see, we're not so arrogant as to try to impose our values on other people. This is what God says. This is what people have understood now for a long time. This is arrogance. What you are hearing is chutzpah, overturning society because of his experience.
A right that I have taken for granted, and most of the people in this room have taken for granted since the day we realized what the opposite sex is. That is a right that I've taken for granted for a long time.
Where does your right to marry come from, sir? State God. By the way, sir, why do we even have this little social construct called marriage? Who came up with this little monogamous idea? Do you have an explanation for that, sir? No, you don't. You don't. So this is a guy with his condescension completely intact, looking down at us. How dare you Christians think that you can say that you know what is right or wrong? I would look up to him and say, how can you even say that there is a right or wrong? And where do you, sir, get your source of authority?
And yet some people, because of others' religious beliefs, do not have that right.
Wow. We're the problem, Christian. We are the problem. Living in America. This is the new attitude toward Christians. So this is the representative from the state of Minnesota arguing, hey, it's time for people to have whatever it is that they want to have because it's just those Christians. Christians holding them down, keeping them back. Should they not have the right to love? Replace that sin with another sin. Hey, look, Castro, he just wanted some company. He just wanted to love those three girls. Shouldn't he have the right to kidnap them and keep them in his basement? That's what he... Am I going to use my Christian values to keep him down? Am I... This thing that I take for granted that I've got the company of people who aren't bound and chained. Am I going to impose my religious beliefs on him?
The other thing that happened was last summer, I got married. And before that, I had dated a woman for 4 years.
This is a beauty.
And she was a wonderful woman. And I realized after 4 years that I could have married her and I would have been happily married to her for the rest of my life. But I also realized I could be happy without her.
Nice! You're a gentleman. I think Maury Povich has a call into you. You could appear on his show. You could make some good TV. Real gentlemanly, sir.
And I decided after 4 years that I wasn't going to marry somebody I could live with. If I got married again, it was going to be to somebody I could not live without. And so we broke up.
Nice. This is
just and rich. In a few months, I met my wife. And it didn't take me very long to realize this was somebody I could not live without.
Nice. Hey, I'm sorry. If you plan on taking the bus home, if you plan on doing the 5G right outside the Capitol there in St. Paul, it's running a little bit late. It gets slowed down when there's a body underneath it.
And how lucky I am.
Wow. A tear-filled.
How lucky we are.
That I could trash that woman publicly for another woman. How lucky I... I'm sorry.
And yet in this state, there are people that feel that way about each other. that cannot live without that other person, that feel the same way they do about each other that I feel about my wife, and yet because of religious beliefs of other people,
wow, slamming,
they do not have the right that I have taken for granted.
No, Joey, are you kidding me? He's what? He's a minister in what denomination? I'm sorry, I didn't
Lutheran.
Quite hear what you just... I'm so, sorry, once again, the head cold. I'm a little stuffed.
What? Lutheran.
Lutheran. Tony, you're Lutheran, aren't you? This is a Lutheran minister that
probably.
You're hearing. Yeah, most
Cindy's
likely.
Not Lutheran.
Do you hear the disdain for religious people? The next time somebody says, you Christians, you're mean and intolerant. Let me tell you, that's mean and intolerant right there. That's imposing values right there. Now, you may recall in the very beginning, we heard him state, hey, you cannot use your theology, you cannot use your religion to impose your values on other people. Listen very, very carefully to how the representative Lutheran minister ended his little, we just got to do what makes people happy routine.
Because they are who God made them to be.
Ah.
Children of God.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa! Whoa, whoa, mister, let's not impose our religion. Does that bus run two directions, or is it just a one-way trip? Remember what he said? Hey, don't you use your religion to impose your values. And he just used his religion to impose values. Now, it's a different type of religion. It's a different type of theology. It's a different understanding of the Bible. But just the same, he used it. So this fellow, I'll tell you, he better watch himself. Because when you eat this much cake while trying to keep it, very, very difficult and probably not all that healthy. Very, very time-consuming to have your cake and eat it, too. This is the thinking of our day. It seems to me the best way that we can respond to this is to stop with the, okay, all right, then we'll use anecdote too, or we'll use statistics. We won't use our Bible. I say just the opposite. I think we need to be using it more. I think we've got to stop backing down. Of course we use our religion. What do you use? Tell me, what do you use? Because inevitably they're going to have to conclude, I'm deciding. Okay, so here's the difference, representative, between you and me. You, sir, and your version of Lutheranism, I guess, have decided this should be the morality for the public. All right. I would say that's pretty arrogant. I don't have that type of thought. Instead, I would like to suggest this is all that God says. That's all. Received an email from Robert. People say we're being intolerant. But what is wrong with that? We as Christians would certainly proclaim intolerance to murder, pornography, drugs, rape, etc. So when it comes to homosexuality, why back down? Let's say we are intolerant of it. Not in a physical harm way, of course. And as Christians, stand firm to what the Word of God says and hate what God hates and love what He loves. The problem is it's kind of a foregone conclusion that we're monsters for thinking such a thing. But Robert, I think you're right. Gently, lovingly, but without backing down and without apologizing. Sorry, Representative, you say it's you. We say, thus saith the Lord. I'm sticking with that. Until next time, go serve your King.